Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello. And welcome to New Books in Performing Arts, a podcast from the New Books Network. I'm Andy Boyd. Today we're talking to Nasser Rahmaninejad about his book A Man of the Theater, Survival as an Artist in Iran, out from New Village Press. Nasser, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed your memoir a lot. I've recommended it to a number of my friends, and I'd like to know, how did you come up with the idea of writing a memoir?
I started actually, thinking about my memoir probably about 20, 25 years ago. And so it developed gradually in my mind. Only in my mind. I had a lot of notes, actually, but not organized. It was unorganized and scattered everywhere in my stuff, writing stuff. But much later, I reached to the conclusion that I should consider my memoir as a testimony and myself as a witness. So I must testify the evil deeds they violently impose on my generation, including myself, you know. Go ahead, please.
And when you speak of the evil deeds they imposed, you're speaking both of the regime prior to the 79 revolution in Iran and after. You were a victim of persecution from both regimes.
Yes, both evils, actually. Yeah. But at the same time, it has happened many times when talking with friends about my experiences, my work of art, and also the obstacle and difficulties I experienced, as you mentioned, during both regime, actually. When I was talking about my experience, especially my American friends, they usually encouraged me to write about my experiences. But the project really didn't start until early 2000, when a friend of mine, an American friend, Kathleen Awe, whose family knew me, my life and my past and everything, suggested that we meet once a week in the afternoon, for example, and you tell me the story of your life, and I will write everything down.
Mm.
So, and later we can edit it and see what we can do with it. So that was how it started, my memoir.
This makes sense to me because you're a man of the theater, as your book says, so it would make sense that you would feel more comfortable telling your story out loud than you would sitting in a computer writing it.
Exactly, exactly. And it has many benefits. One of them was when I went through again and again reading, I felt the voice. It was my voice. It was different if I wanted to sit and write it down myself, mm-hmm. you know.
Could you tell us a bit about how you became interested in theater?
I became familiar with the theater in early age when I was a little boy, even before I go to school. You know,
You mentioned sort of traditional forms of theater and storytelling that would be performed on platforms above the wells in the neighborhoods. Could you describe those a bit?
Yeah. Let me... When I was... it was fifth grade. At the time, I was familiar with theater and mostly Iranian traditional theater. And I used to go with my father to establish professional theater, which in this theater, two very close relatives of my father were acting. They were two brothers. One of them, Abdul Wahab Shahidi, who was very close to my family, my father. He was a singer and musician also. I get familiar in this from this point on when, as I said before, I go to elementary school. And I knew theater, but mostly we were familiar with traditional Iranian theater, which is improvisation way of, there is no script in this theater. And it has a main character who is black, a servant who is serving a family, a Haji family. Haji, you know, it's a Muslim who is wealthy and can afford to do a pilgrimage to Mecca. So my brother, when I was in fifth grade, my brother formed a theater group by the kids, the neighborhood kids, and we used to do plays in traditional Iranian style, which were familiar with the story, with the characters, and it was improv. And I used to play the black servant, which has a different accent, is funny, is relaxed, is sometimes, most of the time during the play. He pretend that he doesn't understand some words, and he plays with the word and make fun of his master. It is very funny, and it's a charming character for audience. And usually it is considered as a hero, as a the symbol of masses, this character. Yeah.
It seems like it's almost a metaphor for your later work doing progressive political theater, that it's a you from a young age you were playing this servant who was outsmarting the upper classes.
Yes. And I did the same character again in 1986 in France. A friend of mine, who is a playwright who lives in Paris, he metaphorically wrote a play about the exile, and he took that character and another character as a a metaphorical character for art and artists and culture and everything who was beautiful and good after 1979 revolution went to exile. And I did that character again in this play.
That's fascinating. You write in the memoir about a lot of the theater artists who you admired were associated with the Tudeh Party, the Communist Party of Iran. Was it through theater that you became interested in left-wing politics?
Not exactly, although I had inspired by them, especially by the director and founder of this theater group, Abdul Hussein Nushin. How I can say, because I liked theater very much from early age, and especially during my high school, I knew that my future would be in theater. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't imagine myself other than an actor, a theater actor. So I looked for material which was very rare. They had only two books. One of them was from Nushin, this director. And he was also involved in politics in Tudeh Party, the Communist Party of Iran. He was a member of the Central Committee of the party. And their theater actually was one of the most famous theater and the most influential theater group that started actually the modern new Western style theater in Iran, establishing that style in Iran, actually. I inspired somehow, not politically, more artistically. And so, that was a main influence I had in my young age.
Right. So it was the artistic influence first, and then the politics came later.
Right.
Yeah. Later, you created your own theater company. What was it like creating theater under the regime of the Shah?
Oh, It was very difficult because of many obstacles. The main was censorship. And I actually from when I could understand people, society, and politics, I was interested, especially after my experience with the theater I was working with, Anahita Theater. I had in my mind that if I could do theater first, I have to do my, in my theater group, I have to create my own theater group. So, and I had some principles for my theater group. And when I started to contact with friends who I knew from a previous theater, and we had discussion a lot, and finally we agreed with certain principles of our own theater group, we started to work, but we had, as I said, many difficulties. First, censorship, and later, because we were independent. I wanted to be really independent, not affiliated, no relationship with the government. So other than censorship, we always had difficulties with venues. We have to rent venues, and we couldn't have a long run show. The venues we could rent, it was a few auditorium in the universities and a few cultural centers like Iran American Society during the Shah, and Iran and France Cultural Center, and a German cultural center called Goethe Institute. So we couldn't have their venues for long show. Mm-hmm. We could have only one or at the most 2 weeks. That was another difficulty, and financial difficulty was another. But censorship, however, was the most critical problem for us. Even if you had gone through the volatile process of the censoring and having a license for putting your show on a stage, still there were security institutions like Sabat, a police information section, a section in the police department like FBI here in the United States, and the Ministry of Information. All these were watching everywhere for so-called political or suspicious activities. Mm-hmm. So with all these difficulties and problems we had, we needed really to have a really strong artistic motivation, a strong social leave, will, to determine and to create an artistic mood, an artistic environment for work. So we really had to be ready to fight against all odds, any obstacles of our work. So, yeah, we had many difficulties, but the censorship, especially after revolution during the Islamic regime, which is a It's another story. It's a hell, really. We had these difficulties.
It's very clear that you put a lot of thought into what plays you would perform. And one of, I don't know if it was the first play or one of the first plays was Arthur Miller's play Incident at Vichy, which is about the Nazi regime in France during World War II. What appealed to you about this play?
Well, yeah, the Incident at Vichy was the first play, the opening play of my theater group in 1968, when I actually bring in other friends, other actors for my previous, to develop my previous theater group, Mare. I wanted really to have a good, powerful play for the inaugural play of our theater group.
Yeah, for the inaugural, for the first play, you wanted it to be a really powerful work. Yeah.
So I was looking for many, many plays. This time was actually the second performance. It was revival in 1968. The first time it was in 1966. We performed Miller's play. I looked for long, almost a year, and probably more than 100 plays. I went through, and I was not satisfied with many of them, because other than play itself, we had the kind of limitation. For example, one of them was we didn't have actresses. It was really difficult at the time to have actresses. Women were really a few in Iranian stage at the time. So we needed, we have a all men character play. First of all. And Miller's play, I was going different libraries, different places, asking different people. Finally, I went to a big publishing house that I thought probably they had a library over there. I talked to the director of publishing house, and I told him why I am here and what I am looking for. He listened to me carefully. He was one of the best Iranian translators from English to Persian, and one of our really great writer. And he told me, I came back recently from United States, and I brought with me a play of Arthur Miller. I'm going to give it to you to see if you like it, you can translate and perform it. That was, I found Miller's play. And wow. I am still very happy I could find this play and did it, really.
Yeah, there was a theater in New York that did this play a few years ago. I think it was during 2017, the first year of Trump's presidency, and it seemed very relevant for that time.
Yeah. That's true.
Was that part of the motivation that you wanted, you hoped your audience would see the parallels between the Nazi regime and the regime of the Shah?
Most audience actually had that, get that kind of feeling from the play. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. But our interpretation was different. Our interpretation was the, what is the responsibility of a man when he or she is in a crucial moment of his life. You know, mm-hmm. in this play, I'm sure you know very well the play, the Prince von Berg, which is one of those prisoners, one of those people who was arrested by French police, he is a wealthy a prince, an Austrian prince. They arrested him by mistake. I don't know how. But when he get the pass to go out, actually it's free, he gave his pass to the Dr. Leduc, who is a Jewish guy, and certainly he was one of them who can take to the concentration camp. Mm. And the prince actually saved his life. And he stayed there himself, the prince. This is a moment that I myself actually, when I was arrested and under torture, that was my feeling. How I can save myself and my friends when I am in this crucial situation, under this kind of pressure, under torture, you know? That was our interpretation from the play.
Thank you. One thing that I didn't realize before reading your book was that there were left-wing groups trying to overthrow the regime of the Shah before the 1979 revolution. I feel like so much of the time, you know, we project how history ended up on the past. And so we think the revolutionary movement was all Islamists, but actually there were many socialists and communists involved in that movement as well. And you, when you were put into Qasr prison, you encountered people from both of these groups who had formed something that you called a prison commune. Could you, this, I found this totally incredible. The idea that you would have, you know, these Marxists living and working alongside these Islamists, and even some people switching between the two groups. So could you describe what it was like living in that prison, and even you even directed plays inside the prison?
You know, as you know, there were two different guerrilla groups, Muslim and Marxist, and when I was arrested in 1972 and sentenced to 1 year in prison, and after a month under interrogation, they transferred me to Qasr prison, where there was two political prisons, number three and number four. I was in number three prison, and most of the guerrillas were there, actually. So I talk, every Friday night after dinner from 8 o'clock to 9 p.m., we had sitting and the people singing regional songs from different states, Bakhtiari, Lori, Kurdish, Turkish, Bandari, and different kind of regional songs. I thought this is a very good time, good
opportunity to
do theater here. I talked to a few friends, prisoners, and they didn't recommend me really do theater because at that time there was a guerrilla mentality over there, mm-hmm. and they told me they don't accept art and poetry and theater and the things like that. I thought so. I can probably do something, and I wrote a kind of lecture. It wasn't lecture. It was a kind of lecture about the daily life of prison and the difficulties prisoners have, and the ratio the commune had for prisoners, especially cigarette, is not enough for each day. And then gradually I went to the cultural life of prison and the prisoners before and those guerrillas who were writers, poets, and artists. I bring them in and talking about them, and I could, make a
connection. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, connection between art and a struggle and politics, and the atmosphere a little bit. I could see the audience, the prisoners, their face were changing. And then it was accepted, and I started to do theater. Adaptation from Chekhov, from Saltykov-Chedrin, and writing myself about the commune, one of those plays was very critical of the commune, actually. The way the responsible people were doing daily life of the commune. Yeah, it was very good. I did really, during 1 year, I did 10 short plays and it was accepted.
10 plays is a pretty good season.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were arrested after a rehearsal for one of your plays, along with other members of your theater company. Do you believe that the secret police thought you were a guerrilla? They said that your theater company was actually a front for a guerrilla group. Do you believe that they thought that, or do you think they were really just punishing you for making progressive theater?
Oh, they were suspicious that we knew certain guerrillas. Mm. Because before that, I was arrested because of my friendship with two guerrillas. But I could justify and somehow get out of the prison. But they were not really 100% sure that we know or we have very close friendship and relationship with them. So, but at the same time, during that time, which was 1973 and 74, the Savak wanted to really uproot all different kind, guerrillas and non-guerrillas, political and moderate and radical oppositions in mm-hmm. Iran. Mm-hmm. And they were arresting randomly people on the streets. Mm. So we somehow trapped in that plot, in that plan, in that project Sobok had for really finishing with all kind of opposition. And we were not. We knew some, especially me. I had friendship with one of the most guerrilla who were after him for years from high school, and our friendship continues for long after, right before, a year before I was arrested, and he was in hidden at the time, and they were looking for him. That was one of the reasons I was under really very hard time during the interrogation.
So you knew people who were in the leftist resistance, in the guerrilla groups, and they tried to get you to tell to inform on them for years through very brutal torture. I'm curious, and if you don't feel comfortable answering, that's fine, but how were you able to withstand that torture and refuse to betray your friends?
As I said, different people with different, those are who active, political activists and are member or sympathizer or have connection with the and political organization. It depends of their level of position in the organization. It depends of their level of responsibility or how they active in where. For example, some of them are not in secret or in hidden. They are openly working and like any other people. These people are different than those who are in guerrilla cell and they are active in specific homes and always ready to confront with agents.
So there was an above ground and then a kind of underground resistance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you need to have in interrogation a kind of understanding of your situation and the approach of agent and interrogator. And you can have your own strategy how to approach in interrogation. My approach was just accidentally, I was friend with them and our relationship was limited. Mostly we were talking about art, especially theater, which was my profession, and nothing in politics. And the main things it was for me, actually, it was a principle of moral and how I can go out with background that is not clean, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to be clean. I wanted to be, follow my moral principles.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it was that.
You wanted to be able to walk out of prison with your head held high, in a way.
Exactly, yeah.
And what was it, how did you feel when you were finally released from prison after 4 years?
Honestly, we were not ready. Because, yeah, we knew that because people were out there, they were slogans against the Shah, death to the Shah.
Yeah.
Over there. We knew that a big change is coming. But at the same time, we were not ready to be free that soon. And this is one of the reasons leftists failed in the revolution. They participate hardly. Leftists were the most important forces against the Shah's regime. I remember after the revolution, I was going to get a passport to come to Europe for my heart surgery. In the passport office, a police, when the day I went to get my passport was issued and ready to get my passport, I found all the other, behind the counter, a police has a passport and calling me and asking me come from the door inside. And I knew him. He was one of the prison guards in prison. And when I went in behind the counter, he said, this is your passport, is ready. I'm going to give it to you. But I have a question. And I need you honestly answer my question. I said, okay, what is your question? He said, when you were in prison, we thought you are the one. If anything's changed in Iran, you are the one, you are going to get the power. In the power. What happened? How these mullahs came to the power?
Yeah.
That was really the question. I said, Mr. Yahmai, I knew his name. This is a very complicated and critical question. I don't think anybody have the answer. Probably later we can find the answer. Please give me my passport. I want to go.
So, yeah. So perhaps one reason why the left was not able to seize power after the revolution was that the left had been so harshly repressed under the Shah, which maybe allowed the mullahs and the Islamists to gain influence among everyday Iranian people in a way that the left was unable to. Do you think that was part of the equation there?
That was one of the important part of the equation. Yeah, because after 1953 CIA coup,
that overthrew Mossadegh because Mossadegh. He was trying to nationalize the oil, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The repression were harsh, especially on leftist people, because they were arrested, all members of Tudeh Party.
And this was the Cold War. That's the context here. Is
exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. During 25 years, from 1953 to 1979, it was a very harsh pressure and repression on leftists and even nationalists, moderate people.
Because Mossadegh wasn't really a leftist, right?
No, he was not a leftist.
He was more of a moderate nationalist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was the leader, not officially, but authoritatively. He was the leader of National Front mm-hmm. of Iran. Mm-hmm. You know, the Shah repressed all of these people except mullahs, except Islam. Mm. Mullahs had everything, money, their shrine, their mosque, and their prayer every day, every night, every week, everywhere. So they could really had a very vast connection with people, with masses. Mm-hmm. And left just got released from prison 2 months before revolution.
Yeah.
They couldn't organize themselves.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything. And as you rightly mentioned, it was the Cold War era. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union was there. And the Cold War was inactive. The United States didn't want leftists or nationalists come to the power. They made a deal with mullahs. Mm-hmm. And very fast before the revolution, the movement, revolutionary movement actually developed its pace, the United States made deal with mullahs and everything ended with ceremony, with flower.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kind of thing.
So the United States helped to install the Shah, but then also helped to install the Ayatollah after the Shah was deposed.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like I'm starting to understand why so many Iranians don't like the United States.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do describe, though, I mean, you say that you didn't, that the left didn't have time to organize before the revolution, but you do describe a scene at the University of Tehran that seems like it was very full of hope. You describe people discussing Marx, listening to Victor Jara, the Chilean folk singer, singing leftist songs. Was there a feeling at that moment that maybe you really could take over the state and move Iran mm-hmm. in a more progressive direction?
Yes. Especially to the party and after to the party, another organization, the Fedayeen, who changed their strategy from, from guerrilla to the political type of strategy. They had a very strong hope they can change it because they had a kind of analysis, or I should say Leninist analysis of the situation mm-hmm. that the mullahs, or they called the petit bourgeois, mm-hmm. the traditional petit bourgeois, they can develop during the, because they believe revolution is continued. Mm-hmm. And they can develop, they can change. It was a kind of delusion to me.
So they believed that the 79 revolution was sort of a bourgeois revolution?
Traditional petit bourgeois.
Yeah, revolution. Yeah. So they even supported the regime set up by the mullahs at first, right?
Yes, they supported. And even they supported many killing 2 years after revolution, Islamic Republic started.
So we can blame the repression under the Shah to a certain extent, but there were also very serious mistakes that the left made that made it possible for the mullahs to take over.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because you certainly, I get the sense in your book that even though you are maybe ideologically sort of more or less aligned with the Two-Day Party, you had disagreements with them as well, both in theater and in politics.
I had a lot of friendship with members of Two-Day Party, but I never had any tendency, I couldn't believe them. Didn't see them, their understanding, their political understanding is right.
Yeah.
In many different occasions it happened. Even when I have in my book, when we had a way in our theater group, before we put on stage our play, some friends came to see our rehearsal when it was almost ready to get their opinion.
A dress rehearsal or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of our friends were Two-Day Party members. They were not agree with the petit bourgeois, Maxim Gorky's play called Petit Bourgeois, or Smuggle, the other title of Gorky's play, because they told us, you are criticizing petit bourgeois in your play, but the petit bourgeois now are in prison. They are opposition of this regime. And I stand for that. I had a very strong disagreement with them. And they left after the show, the theater group, after we had discussion about that, not really happy. They were not happy.
Yeah.
No, I had friends, although after the revolution, all these friendship ended. We didn't have any relationship, and because they had their own party there, and they didn't need to have other Two-Day members.
So when did you come to realize that sort of the writing was on the wall, the revolution had not gone in the direction you had hoped, and you would have to leave Iran? What made you realize that?
Oh, that was when I could no longer to go outside in public, really. Because their agents were really right after me.
Yeah.
You know?
You were being followed.
Yeah, I was hidden for last 5 to 6 months of living before I left Iran. Yeah, and I it is in my memoir. I escaped from mountain to Turkey and Kurdistan.
Yeah, you escape on horseback, right?
Yes.
That's when someone makes a movie of this book, that's going to be the climactic final scene.
Right.
Nasser on horseback riding over the mountains.
Right.
And then when you came to the United States, what were your feelings about coming to the United States? Because obviously, you know, the United States had supported regimes that had been very repressive to you personally and also to your country. Did you have resentment towards the United States when you arrived here?
I think I should say yes.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah. I was angry. I have to say that I had resentment even before I came to United States.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be honest. Yeah, because yeah. not only because what United States did to my country, but also because the horrible policy it had and continues to have around the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking about United States, of course, I'm not talking about the people of the United States.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the government, the policies of the government.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the government and its policy because I have a lot of really, really nice American friends, and I see they are open to know, to accept new things, to know new people, new culture, and things. They are not the same as their government.
Yeah,
like most of the countries around the world,
like Iran as well. We shouldn't equate the Iranian people with the Iranian government.
Exactly.
Even. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, could you tell us a bit about your artistic work since leaving Iran? I know you had a performance at Stanford University. I saw a video of that.
You know, when I left my country in 1983, I went first to France as a refugee political refugee, and I stayed there about 4 years, and I tried to work to do theater work.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning, I started to establish my own theater group, but it was very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult because, you know, all Iranians just came in, mm-hmm. fled the country and mm-hmm. came in, and they were busy with the refugee
yeah.
bureaucratic stuff, administrative work. They needed to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the future was not really clear for them, for none of us.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. But we have to, plan for our future, but we couldn't because there was nothing clear for us over there. So I couldn't really establish a theater group, but I did four plays anyway with people who I knew before. They were actors
mm-hmm.
and active in Iran, and some of them I knew in France, in Paris.
So other refugees in Paris you performed with?
Yes.
Wow, cool.
And one of the best play, every Iranian like it very much, called Othello in Wonderland, which is about the censorship under Islamic Republic.
Mm.
How a theater group wants to put on Othello mm-hmm. and how Othello is changed in the hands of censors.
Yeah.
This is a satiric.
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy satiric.
Yeah.
Play. It's on YouTube also, but it's not in a good quality.
Yeah, it's hard to film theater and make it look good.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then what are some misconceptions you think Americans have about Iran and the Iranian people?
Uh, Yeah, we got close up there to this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's not only misconception. It is also misunderstanding
mm-hmm.
or lack of knowledge, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is because the government politics mm-hmm. and probably mostly the corporate media in this country,
mm-hmm.
they spread wrong information about other people in the world.
Yeah.
Because the government usually identify the people with the government.
Yes.
And this kind of wrong knowledge, you know, through media goes everywhere, and people mm-hmm. have some kind of misunderstanding, really.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as I said, there are a lot of majority of American, they are open, really,
yeah.
to accept new culture, new people, and understand them.
And finally, as a last question, what do you hope readers will learn or discover from reading your memoir, A Man at the Theater?
Wow, that's
a big question, I know. Take your time.
Yeah, big question. Yeah, I really hope that readers, especially the English-speaking readers, would realize that the stories about Iran in my memoir are all true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why. Because they may be different from the information obtained from official sources,
yeah.
like government, or information that comes from certain political organizations with a particular point of political view, you know. I did not follow any political agenda in writing my memoir,
mm-hmm.
and I did not want to induce any specific political view.
Mm-hmm.
My whole effort was to record what really happened and how I personally experienced those events.
Yeah.
You know? In my memoir, nothing is exaggerated, nothing transformed, nothing diminished for the purpose of, let's say, a specific political view.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I also hope that the young Iranian generation will read this book and find that the generation before them, the generation that actually struggled to change the unjust system in Iran, suffered badly.
Mm-hmm.
They were deprived, went to prison, were tortured, and many lost their lives. They struggled not for establishing an Islamic regime, but for a better and a human system. They fought for social justice and freedom, not for these, how I can say, corrupt and bloodthirsty mullahs,
mm-hmm.
you know. But unfortunately, it was not in the interest of Western politics,
yeah.
especially American imperialism, that Iran became a free and independent country.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States helped mullahs to take power in 1979. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, the brutal violence of the Islamic regime has caused the violence of the Shah's regime to be forgotten.
Yeah.
This is what the young generation of today in Iran needs to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nasser, so much for your time and for your wonderful book, which is, again, A Man of the Theater: Survival as an Artist in Iran. It's my hope that these types of conversations can kind of help create a better understanding between people of different cultures. And maybe this will play some small part in facilitating less tension between Iran and the United States.
I hope so. I hope so. And I believe it will be. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Again, I cannot recommend this book enough. So thank you so much for writing it.
Thank you very much, Andy, for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.